Hello, and welcome to the Atlanta Opera Podcast in the Spotlight. I'm Tomer Zvulun, General and Artistic Director of the Atlanta Opera, and we are glad you are here. I'm excited to introduce to you this new initiative. Blink Opera is a new way to engage with the art form that we love so much and the artists who bring it to life. Who better to bring you these stories than the artists who perform them and know them so well? So our premise is simple. We unpack the plot. We sprinkle in the highlights, share some anecdotes in the most time-efficient way. Blink, and it's over. Let's get started.
Hello, and welcome to Season 2 of the Atlanta Opera's Blink Opera Podcast. I'm mezzo-soprano Daryl Friedman, and I'm thrilled to be making my role debut as the title character in the Atlanta Opera's production of Handel's Julius Caesar. I'm delighted to be your host for this week's episode on Handel's masterwork opera. Handel's Julius Caesar recounts one of history's great love stories, the story of Caesar and Cleopatra. Though Handel wove threads into the tale that are more operatic than they are historic. Fun fact, this is the Atlanta Opera premiere of Julius Caesar and the oldest opera ever to be performed by the company. The opera's libretto was written by Nicola Francesco Haym, who drew inspiration from an earlier text by Giacomo Francesco Bussani. And the opera was first performed at the King's Theatre in London in 1724. Written in a Baroque style, the score is broken up into arias and recitative. Stay tuned for more on the musical style of the opera in an upcoming Blink Opera episode with our fabulous maestro, Gary Wado. Handel composed the role of Julius Caesar for the castrato voice. The roles of Tolomeo and Nireno were also written for castrati, while the role of Sesto was always intended to be sung by a woman dressed as a young man. The high-voiced castrati were the biggest opera stars of Handel's time, and they were also extremely powerful in both voice and stature. The castration affected a growth inhibitor, so most castrati were quite tall and had big barrel chests. This proved to be really advantageous for a powerful and athletic vocal production. Given these qualities, it makes sense that the roles typically written for castrati were strong, heroic men of high status, and that Handel naturally would have chosen a castrato to sing the role of the powerful emperor, Caesar. Castrati gained popularity after the Vatican banned women from church choirs in the mid-16th century. Composers even wrote female roles for castrati dressed in drag when women weren't allowed to sing on stage. So there is a long history of gender bending in opera, even before the mezzo-soprano pants role. Italy eventually banned castration in 1861. So in modern times, castrato roles are sung by mezzo-sopranos, countertenors, or male voices. Audiences didn't really question the gender bending as they understood that the mezzo-sopranos were filling a vocal void left by the end of the castrati era. I think there is something particularly interesting about women singing the role of Julius Caesar. Society has historically discouraged and prohibited women from embracing and gaining power. And here we mezzos are portraying Julius Caesar, the emperor who sought global domination and ultimate power. I certainly don't intend to equate power and masculinity. In fact, Cleopatra's power stems from her femininity. But I personally find it empowering to portray a man like Julius Caesar on stage. Opera gives us an opportunity to fully explore and embrace sides of ourselves that society has deemed unacceptable or impossible. Before we dive into the plot, let's break down who's who. First, there's Caesar, who historically is leader of the Roman army. Then there's Cornelia, the wife of Pompeo, whom Caesar has just defeated in battle. And there's also Sesto, who is Cornelia and Pompeo's son. And finally, Curio, an official in Caesar's army. The second group of important folks are those associated with Egyptians. First, Cleopatra, the queen. Then Ptolemy, her brother, the king. There's also Aquila, head of the army and counselor to Ptolemy, and Nireno, confidant to both king and queen. At the start of Act I, a triumphant Caesar and his victorious troops celebrate their defeat of Pompeo's forces. Caesar agrees to meet with Cornelia and Sesto, who are petitioning him for a peace settlement on behalf of Pompeo. Aquila interrupts their discussion, arriving with gifts from Ptolemy. One of them is the severed head of Pompeo. Seeing this, Caesar is furious and vows to punish Ptolemy for his cruelty. Cornelia is now suddenly a widow and is naturally devastated. Seeing his mother in such a sad state over his father's death, Sesto swears to take retribution for his father's death in the famous revenge aria, Svegliatevi nel cuore. The palace is abuzz with chatter of Caesar's arrival. Nireno brings the bad news to Cleopatra, but she views this as an opportunity to become the sole leader. Her plan is to seduce Caesar and dethrone her brother, the king. In another chamber, Aquila brings the news to Ptolemy that Caesar was furious over the murder of Pompeo. Ptolemy swears to kill Caesar to protect his rule of the kingdom. Alone in his camp, Caesar reflects on the loss of Pompeo in the moving accompanied recitative, Alma del Gran Pompeo. Cleopatra enacts her plan and disguises herself as a poor maiden named Lydia. She tells Caesar she's been swindled by Ptolemy. Taken by her beauty, Caesar promises to help. Cornelia continues to mourn the loss of her husband and prepares to kill Ptolemy to avenge his death, but is stopped by Sesto, who declares to do the deed himself. Caesar and Ptolemy finally meet, and while they obviously can't stand each other, Caesar accepts his hospitality to get closer to the king. Unexpectedly, Sesto and Cornelia show up in a rage, hurling insults and threats at Ptolemy. Ptolemy is fascinated by Cornelia's beauty, but is promised Aquila that he could have her as a reward. When Cornelia rejects Aquila, he orders the soldiers to arrest them, and the scene ends with a bittersweet duet between mother and son as they're dragged away in chains by the guards. The act ends with Cleopatra's plan of seduction put into action. She sings a voluptuous aria about Caesar's sexy eyes and the way they pierce her heart, while scantily clad muses dance around her. Caesar responds that her song is more beautiful than the thunder in heaven, and he clearly has fallen for the disguised Cleopatra. Act II opens in Ptolemy's palace garden as Cornelia sadly laments her fate. Ptolemy himself tries to seduce her, a gutsy move given that he ordered the murder of her husband in Act I. Not surprisingly, she tells him he must be kidding himself. Stung by her rejection, Ptolemy warns her that she will soon taste his venom. Sesto arrives with Nireno, who has released him from Ptolemy's prison, but there's bad news. Cornelia is to be thrown into a different kind of hell, Ptolemaeus' harem. However, Nireno has come up with a brilliant plan to sneak Sesto into the harem together with Cornelia so Sesto can kill Ptolemaeo when he is alone and unarmed. Meanwhile, the disguised Cleopatra has kept her promise to rendezvous with Caesar, and they meet at the palace. Just as things heat up for the couple, Curio suddenly bursts in and warns Caesar that he has been betrayed. Cleopatra reveals her identity and advises Caesar to run for it. In a show-stopping aria, a lampo dell'armi, Caesar declares himself ready for battle. Cleopatra, having fallen in love with Caesar, begs the gods to have pity for her and to bless him. In the next scene, Aquila announces that Caesar has jumped from the palace window and died. Aquila asks Ptolemaeo again for Cornelia's hand in marriage, but is turned down. As the general of King Ptolemaeo's army, Aquila has had enough. He now commits his allegiance and his troops to Cleopatra. Little did Aquila know that Ptolemaeo's forces had already captured her. The distraught Cleopatra, believing that Caesar has died, alternates between tears and tirades in her agonizingly beautiful aria, Piangerò la sorte mia. Caesar is not dead. He survived the battle and is searching for his troops. While looking for Ptolemaeo, Sesto finds the wounded, nearly dead Aquila, who hands Sesto a seal authorizing him to command his armies. Caesar appears and demands the seal, pledging that he will either save both Cornelia and Cleopatra or die himself. Caesar travels to the palace just in time to save Cleopatra from a wretched fate. She is overjoyed to see him. Meanwhile, in Ptolemaeo's harem, Cornelia again refuses his advances. And at a crucial moment, as she's about to stab him, Sesto steps in and finally does the job himself. The opera comes to an end with much rejoicing. Sesto and Cornelia are welcomed as friends in the palace, and Caesar and Cleopatra declare their love forever. For the final chorus, the entire cast, including the dead Aquila and Ptolemaeo, gather on stage to celebrate the power of love and the triumph of good over evil. All for joining me on the Atlanta Opera podcast, Blink Opera, with themes of vengeance, love, betrayal, jealousy, and honor. Julius Caesar has become a timeless classic in the opera repertory. I'm Daryl Friedman, mezzo soprano, and I'm so glad I could share this time with you.
Thank you for listening to another episode in the continuing podcast adventures of the Atlanta Opera. In addition to our Blink series, an ever-expanding vault of explorations of the plot and music of the highlights of the opera repertory, this season we also have the Business of Opera series, where our general and artistic director, Tomers Walloon, and his guests explore the intersections of leadership and innovation in business and in opera, inspired by our new production of The Revolution of Steve Jobs. There's also our Come As You Are series, inspired by our productions of As One and Cabaret this spring, hosted by costume designer and graphic novelist Eric Teague. And of course, there is our ever-expanding roster of Spotlight Media visual content, always available from stream.atlantaopera.org. Hope you join us again soon. Ciao.